Well, good morning, saints. Good morning. And good morning, sinners. Good morning. And thank you, Caroline, for reading the Word of God. Caroline is a rising sophomore at Wofford College. And you saw another one of our college and career, Ben.
Reading scripture. We have a place for every age group in this church. And we are a blessed church. Several years ago, we launched on a three-year partnership with Montana. And on one occasion, we were in Knoxon, Montana, and we decided to have a sports camp. We had soccer, we had basketball, but they really wanted football. And so we asked Coach Satterfield, who had led Furman to a national championship, to come and do a camp in Knoxon, Montana. Little did we know what excitement that would generate, because Coach Satterfield, having coached at Furman, was more well known than the Clemson coach and the USC coach because of the rivalry between Montana and Furman University at that time in football. The coach there was part-time in Knoxon, Montana, and he decided to take off the entire week. He asked for the entire team to be there, to the best of my recollection. So we built up a lot of excitement. Day one came and Coach did the basics. Day two came and he did the basics. Day three came and he did the basics. So I said, Coach, when are we going to get on with, you know, the stuff that gets them excited? He said, now, John, who's the coach? And I said, that's a good point, Coach. That is a good point. He said, John, if we do not get the basics down, all this razzle-dazzle show will not matter at all. We began a series last week called Who We Are and Why We Do What We Do. Who we are and why we do what we do. And last week we focused on holy worship, because who we are and why we do what we do centers primarily and solely on God Almighty. And when we focused on worship, we said this, that as we worship, so we believe. And as we worship and as we believe, so shall we live. As we worship, as we adore and praise and give God the glory, it's out of that that we learn what we believe. So without appropriate worship, our thoughtfulness on Word of God is askew and is askance. And if that is askance, then so it is with how we live. The ancients called that lex orandi, lex credendi, and lex vivendi. As we worship or pray, so shall we believe, and as we believe, so shall we live. Now we come to the second thing of who we are as a church. How did Jesus choose to change the world? How did fully God, fully human, God in the flesh, all power at His disposal, how did He decide through the power of God Almighty to change the world? It blows my mind. He chose 12 disciples. And He decided to change the world through a small group. He did not call for the angels to assemble a mass crowd. He did not call for all the lights, glitz, and glamour. He called for a small group to spend life with Him. That's why I chose the passages that Caroline read. Because they say this. The first passage said this. The first thing He did was offer a call. He issued a call, and so does God Almighty this morning to every believer within hearing of these words. God calls you into a small group to have intimate fellowship with other believers and with Him. He calls, and we must respond. The second passage of Scripture says this, that Jesus taught them. He taught them unlike any other teacher they had ever heard. He taught them. The third passage of Scripture says this, that He shared life with them. The waves could not get too high, the road too hot, that Jesus Christ would not be there with them. He ate with them. He laughed with them. He cried with them. He was there late at night, early in the morning. He spent life with them. And then lastly, so that they would not be navel gazers and merely ask, "What's in it for me?" He sent them. He commissioned them. Now, in case some would say, well, that's what Jesus did. That was for the gospel age. What about life after the resurrection? Well, when we turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see a great picture of the early church. And we see the components of biblical community. We see that they gathered in temple courts. Now, you know they could not go into the Holy of Holies because only the high priest could do that, and only at a certain time of the year. So these people who had come out of the womb of Judaism would come to the temple courts, and there they would engage in holy worship. And they would do this over and over again. But it also says that they went from house to house. Did you pick up on that? They went from house to house. Here is small group ministry. The believers engaged in life together, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer called it, through teaching, fellowship, communion, prayer, miracles, radical generosity, and corporate worship. They spent times eating, learning, celebrating, proclaiming the good news, and supporting each other. It was a place, and they were a people who loved each other, forgave each other, served each other, bore each other's burdens, exhorted each other, encouraged, and the like. You see, this is God's plan. This is God's plan for you to gather in a small group and to share life together. And when you do that, you get raw with each other. You get real with each other. You're going to set each other on edge. But when you work through that, and you go deep with one another, you have the possibility to transform the world. In the 17th century, in the 18th century, there was a movement called the Pietistic movement. Franque and Spener were two of the extraordinary leaders of that movement. And they emphasized personal holiness because they felt the church of their day in Germany had gotten too sterile, too legalistic, too moribund. But they also realized this, that they had to have, and I quote, little churches within the church, little small groups within the larger church so that they could share life together. And we're sitting here today because of Spener and Franque, who demanded that people get together in small groups. And we are here, and so are thousands of evangelicals throughout the world. It also happened with Wesley in the 18th century when he was fed up with the Church of England, how sterile it was in his faith, far too legalistic, far too rigid. And so he stepped out, and they had what they call holy clubs, small groups that would gather together for the express purpose of breaking open the Word of God, applying it to their life, taking it into the world, and out of that launched the second great awakening, all because of a small group taking seriously the mandate to do life together. So what is this for us? You're not meant to do life alone. I'm not meant to do life alone. I need you and you need me. It's not simply enough for us to come in here 1 hour a week and to have worship to God Almighty. And we do it right. It's not about the music. It's not about the preaching or the length of the service. It's about God and seeing the heavens open and literally encounter a God who is holy, who is awesome, who is incredible. We're meant to grow in Christ together. You see, character formation comes when we share life together in Christ. Now, let me get very practical. I want to give you three images for small group ministry. Number one is the classroom. We need to open the Word of God in small groups and be instructed. That means that the teacher must come prepared. That means that the students do not merely waltz into the class and say, okay, what's up today? What's up today? It means that we must be in the Word of God in anticipation of what God will do. And when we do that, and there's this synergism of small group ministry, the Word becomes alive. The second image is the living room or the great room, whatever your preference, because it's there that we share conversation. It's there we share meals together. It's there we weep together. It is there we cry together. It's there that we say, what's up with you? And I care to listen and I care to be involved. The third image of a small group is this. It's the greenhouse. You see, in the greenhouse, the crops are grown and they multiply and they multiply and they multiply and they grow and they nurture and nourish others. Now, let me say this in a different way. In your small group, it may be Sunday school. It may be a women's Bible study. It may be a men's Bible study. It may be a missions course. It may be small group youth work. It may be a college and career classroom. Here is what makes a strong small group. We go deeper through the study of God's Word. Deeper through the study of God's Word. We grow warmer through fellowship. We grow warmer through fellowship. And then lastly, we grow larger through outreach and evangelism. We go deeper through the study of God's Word. We grow warmer through fellowship, and we grow larger when we share and intentionally invite others to Jesus Christ. And I call that the positive word evangelism. Now, let me give practical illustrations, if I may. Why do we do what we do in children's ministry? So many churches say, if you'll give me this hour, I will change your life. And it's reduced to 1 hour. We can't say that at First Baptist easily. Out of 168 hours in a week, we need more than 1 hour to change your child's life. We need for every child to be involved in growth groups. And by now you can see why we call Sunday school growth groups, because we believe that it's not about school and it's not about Sunday. It's about growing in Christ together. Growing in Christ together. So we teach and love on our children in our growth groups. And then during worship, we share lessons through children's sermon, through extended teaching care, and through First Kids Worship using music and teaching and graphics and visuals that they can grasp, that they can comprehend, that will open the doors of heaven to them so that at the appropriate time when the Spirit intervenes, they will say yes to Jesus. But we're not through there yet. We believe that we need to teach them to sing the songs of the faith. That involves teaching music. It involves teaching the words of music and what the words means so that we can put a song in their heart. And I will tell you this, being a pastor that ministers to every age group, and we are blessed with that in our church, when I am with those who are dying, outside of reading Psalm 23, we sing the songs of the faith. Whatever that song may be, we go to heaven as I hold their hand, singing the grand songs of the faith. What songs are we putting in our children's hearts? But we don't stop there either. For on Wednesday, we believe there must be missions. We believe that we must teach the children today in a narcissistic age that there is more to life than them, that their greatest joy will be when they look beyond themselves to others. So what am I saying? However old your child is, by the age of 18, you release them to college or the workforce. We have, what, 54 weeks a year, 168 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our time is ticking. And if we put more emphasis on sports, more emphasis on academics, and I believe in both, if we teach more about how they should carry themselves and look, and I believe we need to look the best and be in the best shape we can be, but if we put more on that than we do fostering a relationship with Christ that is eternal, shame on us. That is why we have this multifaceted approach to reach children in the name of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I could say that for every age group of our church, but time does not permit me. So where are we as a church? Where are we? You heard this several weeks ago when Miriam Nelson gave a testimony, and I want to repeat it. We have on site approximately 1,100 members. Oh, our membership is upwards of 1,400 or 1,500, but some of them are outside, far from capable of getting here on a Sunday. Baptist rolls can get out of hand. But we have about 1,100. 55% of those 1,100 members are in a growth group. That's 605 people. That's it. 605 people are in a growth group, if I single that out as our primary small group. Now, of those 605 who are involved in a small group, only 32% of them are actively participating. That is, 194 people are actively participating in a small group. Now, keep in mind, when you go to the hospital, when you have a death, when you have a birth, when you have a tragedy, when you want someone to high-five you, that's what the pietists called a little ecclesiola in ecclesia, a little church within a church. Everybody needs family. There is no way, as much as I have within me, to be a pastor to every member of this church and to be there for everything you go through, and it agonizes me when I cannot, but that's my problem. I will hold this church back if I keep doing ministry the level I do it and don't set more people free to be leaders and to let them minister to the people of God Almighty. Do you see where I'm coming from? Of the 605, Only 68% of those are sporadic. So we have another 412 of the 605 who are here every now and then for whatever reason. This word teaches it. The history of the church teaches it. Through the Pietist movement, through the Methodist movement, and through the beginning of the Sunday school movement that was launched here in America and in England. Small groups changed the world. Small groups changed the world, and they give an intimacy, a fellowship, unlike any club could ever give. So I close with this. Everyone in this church has 168 hours a week to give. Each one of us is on a limited time frame. We can create a movement to change the world, beginning here in Easley, South Carolina, if we will do it the way the Bible says. We can create a greater movement with 12 committed disciples than we can with 1,100 members. We can create a greater movement to transform the world with 12 committed than 1,100 fans. Now, in your bulletin is a handout. Please look at it. It is an offering of every adult class within our church. Now, if you're a young person in here today, preschool, children, youth, we have age-graded opportunities for you every Sunday. Excellent teachers who love you are waiting to teach you, to love you, to share life with you. But what about you as an adult? I often hear if you get the children, you'll get the parents. Why don't we do it this way? Why don't the parents say, I'll be the spiritual leaders in our home, and I'll make sure to have my children there. I will be the spiritual leader in my home, the mother, the father, the spiritual leaders in my home, and I'll make sure to have my children there. Here are your options, back and front. These are your options. And do you notice on the back there's four other lines? We're ready to start some more classes. We're ready to start some more small group ministries because you cannot have too many small groups. In fact, the ones that grow the best are the ones that are the newest, for they have not turned inward, they are turning outward. And what can transform an established small group? Is when you start saying, we've got to turn outward. And we've got to start reaching. Because within a 5-mile radius of this church are loads of families and children, and I've got this documented, that are asking, does anybody love me? Is there anybody to share life with? And I believe we have the answer because we have Jesus, and we know the prescribed method to reach the next generation. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, you have told us, Lord, what we need to do. You have given us the basics. And sometimes we look for the dramatic. Sometimes we look for the wow factor when you say follow factor is what is best. So, Lord, stir within us to go back to the basics so we can spring forward into the future. Just give us Jesus. In the strong and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is listed in your bulletin. I would pray that some aspect of this worship has pricked something within your heart, for no one of us has arrived. No one of us has arrived. There may be someone beside you today, and that somebody may be you, that needs a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ. Perhaps even to begin an encounter with Jesus Christ where you ask Jesus to come into your life, where you confess your sins and invite Him to come into your heart. If you don't understand that, I will be down front. I will be here after the service and will stay as long as you would like, because I believe a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what matters now and for eternity. And I also believe, based on the Word of God, that a daily walk with Christ is what matters. A daily walk with Christ and a walk with others, that you can be transparent. Do you need that? I ask you, for whatever reason, God may call you to come and pray at the altar. He may ask you to come and talk with me. If He is calling you, say yes. Step out. Let's stand now and sing.
Take my